Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing Fro Rojas, director of Teal Poppy, and I think I have him on the line. Let me just check here. Okay, let's see. Are you there? Uh-oh. Something just went awry with my system. Okay. Well, I'm not sure what happened there, but we had a little glitch here, a technical glitch. But I'm going to have to ask him to try to call me back because something happened there with my system. That's unusual. But hopefully he will give me a call back so I can talk to him about his wonderful film. That happens once in a while, those technical issues. But we're happy to have him call in and talk about his movie, which is a kind of a lighthearted comedy, but it's also a drama. I'll tell you what, I was crying when I watched it. So I'm going to just send him a little email to have him call me back. Call me back, because something happened there. Okay. But Teal Poppy is a wonderful film about a man who's kind of living a carefree life, and he has to deal with 6 children coming his way that he didn't expect when his sister has an untimely death. Let me see if I can get Fro back on here. Fro, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes,
hello?
Now I can hear you. Thank you. I have a little technical issue there for some reason. That's really strange. But thank you for joining us today. I was just trying to explain a little bit about what the film is about, but I'll let you do it because you're the director, so you can tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, Teal Poppy is about a character named Ray Ray who's kind of living the single life, you know, doesn't care about anything but himself and the world. And he's been saving up money for a long time to kind of move down to Miami from New York, you know, kind of ready to retire and live the dream. And then, unfortunately, his sister passes away. And he's kind of stuck with the 6 kids that she has. And, you know, at first he doesn't want them, he doesn't care for them. But then, you know, through, you know, kind of living with them and kind of learning, you know, life lessons, he starts to realize, you know, that family is more important than anything else. And, you know, it's kind of like trials and tribulations of raising a family all on your own and being out there on your own. Now, as heavy as the drama is found, it also has a lot of comedy in it, you know, with 6 kids running around the house and him not having any clue what to do with them. So kind of just a heartwarming story about that.
Was the balance between the comedy and drama kind of intrinsic to the script, or was it something that you were able to kind of play with as a director?
I think, you know, as far as what we set out to do, I think one of the things was, you know, we aimed to make a comedic, you know, family film, but, you know, kind of touch on some real subjects there. And me personally, I went through a similar experience. I lost my mom to cancer early on, and it was just my sister and I. So I was living in L.A., you know, I was working out at Fox, and I kind of had to drop everything I was doing and move back home to Miami to, you know, raise my little sister. Now, in all of that, there's drama, but there's also, you know, like, you know, you connect, you bond. So you have, you know, like, and for me, you know, I was 24 at the time, and I had a 14-year-old. I could definitely tell you there were some comedic moments in that area of I have no idea what I'm doing with a teenager, but, you know, we'll figure it out as we go. So I think we tried to balance out a little bit of both, you know, especially when we were early on in the script process, when Joey was writing it, I kind of just added some of the stuff I went through and kind of just kind of made it a little bit more comedic and then just try to balance it out to what we have. And, you know, in the end, it's a good balance of both family and, you know, comedy, drama and everything.
Now, how did you find out about this script originally? You're friends with Joey, like, how did that come about?
No, so Joey, originally the movie was going to be shot down in Miami, and Joey came down here with his team, and I guess we started interviewing, like, different directors for the project. And, you know, I met with Joey, and, you know, we hit it off right away, and we kind of went over everything about, you know, as far as everything I had gone through, everything, some of my short films from in the past. And, you know, he really enjoyed the work, and we just kept talking and talking about the script more and more. So in the end, you know, I guess a couple of months after meeting, it was kind of like, you know, just, you know, I guess for him, I was the right guy for the project. It was his script. You know, he put it all together. You know, he wrote it, he acted it, he was a producer on it. So it was all his baby. So for me, mm-hmm. it was kind of like I came in, I threw in what I thought, you know, should go in the story and how we should do it and how we should approach it. And I guess we just hit it off really well from there on out.
Was this also a personal story for him, or did he just kind of come up with this?
I think what he told me was that he was walking in the park one day with a friend, and there was a guy that was like six kids running around, and they were like, "We love you, Theo, we love you." And for him, he's like, "Oh, that's really sweet." And then his friend's like, "It's really sweet because they're not his kids. They're, you know, so, you know, he's just the uncle who gets to play with them." And then they kind of go back, you know, to their mom and dad. So, you know, I think for him, he said that was kind of what sparked the idea of, like, this guy, you know, having to take care of the six kids and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, why did you decide to shoot this in New York instead of Miami?
I think it was just a matter of the story. I think the story was always that he had the dream of moving down to Miami. So mm-hmm. I think it just kind of ended up helping out that, you know, we wanted to do the story in New York, where it kind of like a lot of these characters are kind of from, like, you know, it's a huge Puerto Rican background. And mm-hmm. if you're familiar with, you know, Uptown New York, it's Washington Heights. It's very, you know, Puerto Rican, like, you know, a lot of Dominicans and Puerto Ricans up there. And it has a huge Hispanic influence, just the Heights itself. So I think Joey kind of said, you know, it might serve the story better to shoot it there. And then at the end, they come down to Miami and then kind of make that the resolution to it all. Just to kind of mm-hmm. continue with Ray Ray's dreams, and then I think, from my understanding, that's kind of where the TV show would take off, because I think they're working on a TV show as well, so that's where it would
really?
Take off, all of them moving down to Miami, yeah.
Oh, great. That would be
yeah.
great. Now, was it difficult getting permits and locations?
You know, from, I mean, that's usually a producer's side kind of, like, expertise. But I will say, like, shooting in Washington Heights, I mean, we had a really good time. And, you know, for a lot of the people in the area were just very, like, you know, like, whatever you guys need, you know. And it was pretty simple. I mean, we were shooting on the street. We were shooting in these beautiful older apartment buildings, you know. And it just adds such a real element, you know, and so much production value to be able to shoot at the actual scene versus a stage, or versus, like, you know, shooting somewhere else to make it look like Washington Heights. Because Washington Heights is just such a gorgeous, you know, it has such gorgeous texture and such a gorgeous look to it that I feel like we had to shoot it there. So we didn't have a hard time at all. I think the city was really great. And you know, from my understanding, you know, it seems like they're really, really proud of what Theo Poppy's been doing. Kind of, you know, a different film that kind of spreads a positive message and more about family and, you know, than anything else.
Mm-hmm. I know how difficult it is to get a school, for instance, and a courthouse, and all of the different locations you had. I would think it would. I'm surprised it was so easy to get all.
Yeah,
those.
I mean, you know, it was like I guess like everyone just really chipped in once, you know, they would hear what the story was about, and especially like the school, and you know, we shot at like if you look at the end of the movie where we shot at the steps of the courthouse. I mean, they were just very mm-hmm. accommodating. Like the whole city was. It was just really. It was great. It was really good, and you know. I think that helped us out tremendously, just being able to focus on what we wanted to use in the background and the city being like, go ahead, it's yours, you know. And they're, again, I think what was different is it was such a heartwarming story that they were definitely like everyone kind of just jumped on board for it.
Mm-hmm. And Joy, of course, was your star. How did you get the rest of your cast, like Kelly McGillis and Erica Gimpel, and how
Joey,
did you get everybody?
Yeah, Joey actually worked really hard with a casting director, Sig, and they worked really hard on finding the right talent. And, you know, it was just one week to another, we were kind of just looking at different options that we would have. And I think, again, what helped us a lot was kind of just the script was such a heartwarming story. So, you know, they would send it out, and like Kelly McGillis read it, and she loved it. And, you know, one of my favorite actors, Frankie Faison, who I'd always admired his work. When I found out he was on board, I was really excited because I thought he was so great for the mm-hmm. part. If you know Frankie Faison, he was on The Wire, and he had done a bunch of, like, all the Silence of the Lambs films. He's a really, really great actor. And, you know, I think for me, like, one of the choices that I definitely said we have to have her in all of this was Fatima, who plays Angela.
Uh-huh.
I had seen her... because I also direct a lot of commercial work, and I had seen her in some campaigns opposite to what I was doing. And I was like, man, that little girl could really act. And when I saw her audition tape, I was like, wow, she has to play Angela. And the same goes for, like, all the kids. They were just so, so good. I mean, I know a lot of Joey saw a lot of kids, and we all saw, like, a bunch of different. But we really got some great actors from SIG and the team, and you know, they did a really good job just finding the right people for the right parts, and you know, by the end it was just a perfect fit for everyone.
Mhm. Well, what was it like working with the kids?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. These I will say these kids were actually as professional as can be, and one of the things that right off the bat, you know, for me, I've worked with kids before on short films and commercials, and one of the things I've learned early on as a director is you don't treat them as kids, but as, you know, little adults, and I think they respond really well to that, you know, and, you know, these kids were just beyond professional, so definitely for me, you know, one of the best things was, you know, kind of sitting down with them to start and just kind of going over what I wanted each one of them to bring, you know, to the character, and I would ask them, like, what would you want to do with it, and I think, you know, like, if you look at the twins, Angela and Angela, who are played by Sebastian and Fatima, they were just ready to let loose because, you know, the characters are, you know, troublemakers. And I think out of everyone, out of all the kids, they give Ray Ray the hardest time. So they had definitely had a lot of fun with that. And then, you know, you look at the other kids like Nicolette and Dax, where they're just the sweet little ones. And, you know, they were able to play off a lot of that. And then David and Gabriel, who play the older siblings, they just brought so much to the table. And for me, it was never that difficult, actually. Like, working with the six kids, it was actually, they were so professional, it was very easy to work with them. And we're talking about, you know, if you know New York, the apartments are very small, being with six kids, six adults, crew, two cameras, you know. But it was never difficult, you know. It was just, you know, the kids were great. They were really, really great and very professional. And, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to their parents for being great parents, you know, because they were very, very supportive of it all. And they were they're on top of their kids, which is so good. And it shows in how professional these kids were.
Did you have a lot of stage moms on set as well?
No, I mean, you know, the parents would come. But you know, I've had sets before where, yes, there are stage moms and, you know, they're kind of giving their kids the eye. But it wasn't like that at all with this. And you would think on a feature film where we shot, you know, 20 plus days, you'd be dealing with some stuff like that, but not at all. I mean, I'll be honest, like, a lot of these parents became like family to me, you know, especially for me that I don't have family. Like, these were like, you know, they would take me out to dinner and invite me into their homes, and they were so great, you know, and it felt like every kid we casted definitely came from a great background, and that's kind of what we were hoping for, you know, just so that it felt a little bit more real, and it wasn't like some, you know, kid that's a superstar that, you know, maybe his parents are stage moms or whatever, but definitely these kids, none of that. You know, their parents were all great, and I felt like, you know, it's funny to me because it was just like I was one of the kids. Like, I was just running around with them and playing and having a great time because, you know, it was that family atmosphere that we all had, and that was so important for the film. And, you know, you could see it on screen how great these kids are, too.
Mm-hmm. Did I hear that you're having your first child?
I did. I had my first child. Today, thank you. Yeah, she's 1 month old today, actually.
Wow.
Had a little baby girl. Yeah, you know, it was, you know, when I was at 24 and when I had my sister, I felt like, you know, I don't know, you know, after she went off to college, I was like, I felt like now I can actually enjoy myself. It's almost like what they call emptiness, where you're kind of like, all right, now, you know, my wife and I can enjoy ourselves. But yeah, you know, we you know, it's been after all that craziness with my mom and passing away and everything, I felt like I really wanted to focus on, you know, making sure my sister had everything she needed to, you know, never feel like down or out or anything. And for me, it was just focusing on my career, so kind of put a hold on family with that. But you know, things have been going really great over the last 3 or 4 years, and it was like, you know, why not have a great family? To, you know, and it just felt like the right moment for it. So yeah, now we have a beautiful little girl named Olivia.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That film with six kids, you might say, oh, no, what have I done?
No, you know, it's funny. Yeah. Like, you know, I think our baby girl wasn't even born. I think everyone was like, when's the next one coming? And they're like, you just shot with six kids. Might as well have six kids. And I'm like, no, I'm good. No, you know, yeah. It, like I said, like working with the kids, it was great. It was so good that, it really didn't even feel like that. Like, and you know, it's crazy because you can sit down with all of them, each one of them, and you can have like a great conversation with them. And it's nothing like, you know, some people, you know, are like, oh, talk down to the kids, like, hey, Gaga. And it's like, they're not like that at all. You know, these kids are, are fully understand. They fully understand what is at stake and what, you know, is needed of them. And you know, I'll never forget David Castro just pulling me aside and saying that, a lot of the stuff that, you know, because he has some really big scenes. I mean, you know, I think all the kids are sweet in the movie, but his character, Manny,
really
is kind of the one. Yeah, Manny was the one that, you know, didn't want to be with the uncle and kind of was the one that was the most upset about his parents passing away. So, you know, for David, you know, he had the biggest arc from all the kids. Like, you know, his character had just the biggest arc from the kids. And I remember him pulling me aside and saying, you know, a lot of what I'm using is kind of like just imagining what you've gone through losing your mother. And I was like, wow, that, you know, that's so like awesome. Like, wow, I can't believe, you know, you would use that. And please do so. Use whatever you need, you know. And, you know, he was amazing. I mean, there's two big scenes for him, especially that scene where, you know, him and Ray Ray just kind of go at it, and he just brought a lot to the table. He really did.
I think that's the scene when I broke down watching the film and I started crying during that scene.
Yeah,
he did a good
job. That's what I heard. Yeah, no, you know, he leaves everything out there, and he said it. You know, it was funny because in rehearsals, you know, he was he wouldn't cry in rehearsals or anything, but I knew he was fully capable of doing what he needed to do. But he pulled me aside. He's like, "Don't worry, for the day of, I'll bring everything you need me to." And I'm like, oh, dude, I have no doubt. And he just, wow, like, he definitely brought it. I mean, you see it on camera, the emotion and how great it is. And I think for Joey, you know, Ray Ray's character, you could see that he's kind of like taken back, like, wow, this kid really is letting it all out. And then he kind of just jumped in. And it was great to see them both kind of act off of each other. And it's crazy because, you know, we're doing that scene out in the middle of Washington Heights with a huge crowd looking at us and to them, it's like there's nothing else in the world but just Ray Ray and Manny kind of discussing their whole family life, and it was great. It was really, really great.
Yeah. But that large cast and crew, was the craft service budget extraordinary? How to feed all those
think,
people.
Right? Like, yeah, I mean, it's funny. The food was great. I just remember, like, you know, being in New York, you're always like, ooh, there's so many options and everything. But definitely some of the best stuff was, you know, They would get food from us from, like, the local little restaurants in Washington Heights, which are, you know, they have, like, this great Dominican family kind of style food. But, no, yeah, you know, it was an army of people to feed, you know. But even though it's an independent film, you have a huge crew, and we had so many, you know, actors and actresses and extras and everything that you're looking at. But, yeah, they did a really good job. I will say they did a really, really good job. I think what was great about it is they would actually, like, one of the buildings we were shooting in Washington Heights, they got, like, one of the ladies to cook, like, a huge Dominican meal for us, like, once a week. It was really, really good. Just because, you know, especially
right.
when you're away from home, that home-cooked meal tastes so good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The scene that was shot at the club, was that all extras, or were there people that were in the club when you were shooting?
No, that was all extras they got. We actually shot that. I want to say we started shooting that in the morning. And
wow.
I want to say, like, yeah, we started shooting in the morning, and then, you know, I think the club was like, look, at 8 o'clock, I have to kind of open my doors. But I think we were pretty much wrapped up by then. But, yeah, we shot that up really up there on Washington Heights. And, you know, it's just a regular club. We had a bunch of extras. I will say, like, the club and any of the other scenes, it looks a lot bigger than what it is. Like, when you're there, it's a little bit smaller. But we ended up using some wide-angle lenses to kind of make everything a little bit bigger and just kind of show a little bit more, you know, in the frame. It looked a lot bigger. It looked a lot bigger than it really was. But yeah, I mean, those were all extras right there. Same goes for, like, the courthouse and the court steps and all that. They did a great job of getting, you know, what we needed and making it look like a, you know, New York City where everyone's walking around and it's always packed with people.
Mm-hmm. There must have been a lot of fun, like, during that painting scene and different scenes that you guys did. What do you think were some of your favorite moments?
You know, definitely some of my favorite moments. I think, like, definitely one of my favorite scenes in the film, there's two. There is the scene where the kids get taken away. We were running out of daylight, and we pretty much had about 2 hours to shoot that. And it's almost like the bigger the challenge, the better, you know, it is as a filmmaker. You're like, all right, let's do it. And there was a lot of dialogue, and there was a lot of emotion, and, you know, it was kind of like, all right, we have 2 hours to do this, everyone needs to be on their A game, and it was, to me, it's the most beautiful scene, especially because the sun's going down, and the camera kind of captures a lot of that golden magic hour, and it just looked so pretty on screen, plus, it was the biggest, it's the biggest emotional moment, you know, where they're taking two of the kids away, And Kelly mm-hmm. McGillis is just kind of, you know, there giving her top-notch acting, and Joey is kind of playing it off of her, and the kids are, like, fully emotional, crying, and it's, as a director, you're kind of like, all right, you do this, I need you to do this, I need you to be here, you know, and it was just, it was so beautiful it all came together within those 2 hours. I mean, it was crazy when my AD tells me, bro, we have 2 hours to shoot this scene, and I said, okay, both cameras here, here, you here, you know, car comes in here, you grab the kid, like, it was just, it was, you know, what they say, organized chaos. It was beautiful. It was such a beautiful moment. And you wrap, and because it was such an emotional moment, you know, once we finished that day, like, we all just kind of went to the side together and just, you know, really just kind of said, wow, that was such a great moment, you know, especially on camera. I definitely say that was one of my favorite scenes. And, yeah, definitely a lot of what you see in the montage when Ray Ray is finally cleaning up his act with the kids, that was a lot of fun to shoot. You know, we shot our laundromat with, you know, we were able to make a lot of soap come out of the laundry, and then, you know, we're basically painting the apartment, and you know, you start seeing the kids paint each other, and that's, a lot of that is almost just real, like, they just start messing around with each other, painting each other, and, you know, I think in a lot of that, you're also capturing just, it's almost like just capturing real moments, and you're letting the camera roll, and for us, it was just, I think by then, we probably shot that in the second or third week, and by then, we were, like, a tight-knit family, and it was just kind of like everyone was really having fun, and for me, it's just, like, turn on the camera and let's just make sure we capture moments here and there, you know?
Now, that house, before you fixed it up, had a lot of knickknacks and everything everywhere. Was that somebody's house, and did it look like that, or was that all set design?
No, that was actually an empty apartment. Now, one of the biggest things for me, when I was interviewing my art director, okay. One of the biggest things that, you know, I would tell them is in all my films, art direction is so important to me, especially just because I love the details in the background. You want it to feel real. One of the biggest things I don't like is seeing, like, an empty background, and it just feels like a stage. So one of the biggest things I said was it has to feel real. It has to feel like someone lives there. So, you know, interviewing different art directors, Lucio, who was just beyond great, was kind of the one that we just hit it off, and he totally understood my vision, and he would show me all these little things that I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. And, you know, like, one of the biggest things that I told him that I loved and I wanted to do in the film, that it's kind of like a hidden thing, almost in every scene there's like a hidden ceramic animal in the background, and it was just this silly little thing that I wanted to do, but he found a bunch of ceramic animals, and he would just hide them all, like, in the background. So you always see, like, you know, in the principal's office, there's, like, a huge eagle lamp. In the apartment, there's all these little, like, cats and dogs in the background. And it was just something, you know, silly but funny. But again, all these little things just add so much character. So one of the things I always told Lucio and his team was make sure that there's just always something back there. And it doesn't seem like a stage. And he really just came through so big. I mean, you look at all the details in that room. You can pause it and look at everything, and it's just gorgeous. There's so many little things that I'm just like, where did you find everything, dude? You know? But yeah, for me, that's all my films and all my work. That's one of the biggest things. I love art direction to be very detailed and just to have so much going on. Again, so it doesn't look like an empty stage. I feel like that's the worst thing you can do to an audience, is give them no information to look at.
Did you ever think about making this movie in Spanish, or is there a Spanish version somewhere?
No, there is no Spanish version. I don't think it was ever planned to be Spanish. I think it's kind of like what I've always talked about is my generation speaks Spanglish a lot, and I think the generation that's coming up behind me is doing it even more. You know, growing up, you know, in my household, it was all Spanish, but when I went to school and my friends, it was all English. And then, you know, somewhere in the middle there, it just became Spanglish. And I think that's kind of what we intended with this. It's just become like at least for as a Hispanic, it's kind of the language that it is, you know. And it just comes from you know, growing up with parents who spoke Spanish and then living in a world where, you know, we speak English. So I think that was kind of the game plan, you know, with the film was, you know, just kind of let it be, you know, Spanglish, if it needs to be English, you know, and I don't think we ever set out for anything specific, but, you know, these kids are Hispanics themselves, so you tell them, you know, just say what you would say, and, you know, some of them would use mommy and papi, and, you know, some of them would say other words that, you know, it's just a mixture of it all, and I feel like a lot of people just understand what it is already, just, you know, especially being in the Washington Heights area or in, like, the Los Angeles or Miami area, It's just definitely a lot of that Spanglish.
Yeah. What do you think was the most challenging part of doing this film overall?
Overall, I mean, I think going into it, you worry about having to deal with such a big cast. I think when originally we started, you know, there was like 8 kids and like 10 friends, and I think that, you know, that originally was my concern, but you know, it really wasn't a challenge at all. And, you know, we got it down to 6 kids and the 3 or 4 best friends. And, you know, there really wasn't that much of a challenge in that everything just kind of grew together. And, you know, like I said, everyone really brought everything to the table. I think if anything, like, you know, like you look at days when you're prepping to shoot and you're like, wow, this is going to be a really challenging day. The courthouse scene is one of those scenes that I just looked at and I remember saying it's 16 pages of script that should be easily a 5 to 6 day shoot, you know, on a studio level.
Yeah.
And we only had 2 days to shoot it. And,
wow.
And I remember at the end of day one, we got everything that was planned for. We never skipped anything. And I sat down with my script supervisor, who was amazing too, Peter. And we basically said, he showed me, you know, the layout of the camera, and it was like 54 setups, some crazy number like that. And he's like, bro, I've never been on a movie where we've moved that fast and gotten everything we've needed. And the same thing went for day two. Those 2 days, I mean, we're talking about a good 5 to 6 days of shooting, and we knocked them out in 2 days. So I think if anything, you're looking at stuff like that, where you're kind of wondering, like, how is this day going to go? Because, you know, I only have 2 days to shoot it, and I have to get 8 pages a day of script. And there's 20 actors that, you know, we have to kind of get and move the camera around everywhere. But yeah, I mean, those were the challenges that you kind of think about, especially going into an independent film. Time is always against you. You know, where, you know, we shot for 20 days is what we shot. I think on a studio level, you would have had another 3 or 4 weeks or, you know, maybe 2 weeks more to shoot this. But you know, it's part of what makes it great too. It's you're giving a challenge of this is all we have, let's make it happen, and you make it happen, and it all works out really well. That's part of the fun in it. So definitely, I think those were the most challenging things. Just kind of looking ahead and saying, okay, we have a lot to cover here, and here, but you know, the whole team would knock it out. You know, R.A.D. JC was just great. I mean, the way he planned everything out and the way he orchestrated everyone's schedule was just so amazing. I mean, we had Elizabeth Rodriguez was actually doing a play on Broadway. So she had a pretty difficult schedule herself, but he and Kelly, you know, Kelly McGillis and everyone's schedules were just, you know, and he managed to make it all work. And that's just amazing to me so that he was able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Did you shoot on the weekends or during the week or how did you
straight through? We were shooting five days a week. We were shooting, if I'm not mistaken, it was Sunday through Friday. Sunday through Friday, and we had Sunday through Friday. I want to say we had Saturdays. And then we had 2 days off during the week, and it changed a lot. It was never the same. It just kind of depended all on when we can shoot at certain locations. But we shot most of the week with, you know, some alternate weekends, I think we shot in there. You know, and you go your full, I want to say like 14-hour days. 12 to 14 hours.
Wow.
I think what was really great is, you know, I pride myself as a director on getting what I need to do within the time that we need to get it in. And one of the days we went over, I think it was 12-hour days, and we went to a 14th-hour day. And I was like, oh, damn it. And the whole crew was like, dude, don't even worry about it. The last film they had come from, they were working like 20-hour days. So I was like, all right, that's cool. You know, I think we only went over twice. Like out of the 20 days of shooting, we only went over twice our 12-hour days. So, you know, the crew really just was top-notch and A-plus, just running around, making sure that we had everything we needed, and getting everything going and stuff, so.
Okay, and now you showed this at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, and you've showed it at other festivals, and this is being released on September 6th, right?
That is correct. September 6th, it hits theaters. It's screened at Fort Lauderdale, Cleveland. I believe it's screened in New York and L.A. But, yeah, it premieres September 6th, hits theaters. And, you know, it's had a really great festival run. It premiered, it screened, sorry, in Puerto Rico, and I think it won Best Film out at the film festival out there. So, you know, people are, you know, having great reactions to it. And what's really, again, I think it's just different to see a good family film out there. And that's kind of the biggest thing for us. It was kind of going into it. we knew the story we had and kind of what it was about. And it's just different to, you know, some of the stuff you see out there in that, you know, the big action blockbuster stuff. You know, we had a simple yet, you know, strong family story here. And I think no matter what race or no matter where you're from, you can connect to it because I think we all have that family, you know, those family values inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Is there a website for the film that people can check out?
Yeah, I believe it's Teal Poppy the Movie. And I think you can look up Teal Poppy on Facebook and keep updated there. I think the Facebook page has a lot of detailed information as far as where the screenings are happening, where, you know, like some of the actors are doing meet and greets and where they'll be, and especially more information on, like, the premiere and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. And this is not your first film. You've done a lot of award-winning shorts like Inventing Tan and Pencil Fighting, The Life and Times of Team Balderdash. And actually, I saw that you were a producer on Life and Freaky Times of Uncle Luke. And I've interviewed Jillian Mayer before. I did an article about her, so that was kind of funny to see that. So Jillian's cool.
They're very cool people.
Very cool.
Jillian and Lucas and those guys, yeah, they're very cool people.
Yeah, doing all these different things that you've done, was there something that you took from those experiences that you used in order to make this film?
I'm never going to do that again,
you know?
No, you know, I think the experience you take from it all, like, you know, for me, you know, I started, you know, I've been doing, like, commercial work or my little short films when I was, like, in high school. I would do these, you know, tell my friends, and they're like, oh, I'm not an actor. I'm like, just stand in front of the camera, you know, and you know, do this. And I think over time you just start to realize what you take away from each project is, you know, how can you get better? And I think that was always kind of the case. Now, you know, I've done, I think up to this point, about 6 or 7, you know, short films. And especially with the last three, the last one, which is we just finished doing one for Bacardi right now, a short film for Bacardi, which is kind of cool, which they kind of Bacardi's doing a series of short films where they talk about each city, like different cities in Miami, like 6 different cities. And that was really like a great, you know, great, great whole thing. But the ones before, you know, I think what I learned is the independent aspect of it all is kind of what I brought on to Teal Pop. Definitely one of the things was, you know, you make it happen with as little as you can. Now, it's great on a feature film where there, you know, you have 2 cameras and you have all the toys. But I think what helps any upcoming filmmaker is definitely, like, do your own project, learn what you need, what you don't need, because, you know, when I was on Teal Poppy, I already knew, and kind of my background, too, was, you know, I used to edit all my projects. Everything, I would always edit it. So for me, that background definitely helped me in understanding what I needed, what I didn't need, especially when my AD is like, dude, we only have 2 hours left. Make sure, you know, can you take out any shots? And you're kind of like, you sit down, you look at everything, and it's kind of like a blueprint, like, I don't need this, I do need this. This will make the edit work. And the way I direct is I edit everything in my head before I shoot or while I'm shooting. I'm kind of, like, I'll go off to the side, and I'm kind of just, like, looking up in the sky a little bit, and my DP will come over, he's like, everything cool? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm editing my head. And he's like, all right. you know, so it's definitely just, it helps me just to kind of see everything. But yeah, I think what I learned from everything is just that independent aspect of not having anything. Now, like, the first short film I did, which, you know, I did 8 years ago, I had a budget of like $300, and it was just basically all in food is what it was, you know. And it was shot with a little camera, and then the next film the budget got higher, and, you know, the more and more, you know, the more short films we did, the budgets got bigger and bigger. And I think what helped me up to the point of Teal Poppy was definitely understanding, A, like, what was needed, you know, with nothing, in the sense of, like, you know, you give me 2 cameras, I will, you know, I will be able to do whatever it takes. But now you're giving me a huge crew and all these toys and all the, you know, it definitely makes the process a lot easier. And then I think just from experience, just from past experiences working with actors, it definitely just helped, you know, as, you know, the first short film, like I said, was like my friends and I, and then you start casting and then you start looking for bigger and better actors and you start working with just more better, you know, better talent in general. And I think that just, you know, helps you prepare. Now, you know, I've done commercial work, I've done it all, and it definitely, all of that just helps you be able to put all your energy into what is needed for the feature film.
Okay. We're running out of time, but I know you have a new film coming out called With Me, and I guess I'll have to bring you back another time when that one's in the can, and, you know, we can talk about that one too. And before we go, is there a personal website or Facebook that you want to give for yourself so that people could contact you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You can look me up on Facebook, you know, and just type in Fro Rojas. We've been so busy over the last 3 years, I haven't even had a chance to sit down and build a website. And then this year has probably been the craziest. But if you look up Fro Rojas on Facebook, I always update with anything that's coming out and all that fun stuff. And, yeah, I mean, pretty much the feature hopefully will start shooting very soon. The short, it's based on a short film that we did a couple years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, okay. Yeah, so we'll pretty much be shooting that. But definitely I'll come back on the show. You were great. You were very, very great.
Thanks. All right, well, we're running out of time, but thanks for coming on today. And I'm going to tell everybody where it's showing in Miami because I have the whole list. And in a second, I'm going to tell everybody. But thanks for coming on, and I will bring it back.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Phil.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was a great conversation with Fro Rojas about Teal Poppy. It's a great film. It's a fun film for the whole family. It's serious but comedic, and I think it's a lot of fun. So I'm really anxious to see if they have a TV show because it's perfect for a TV show. Absolutely perfect. So I hope they do that. Especially I hope they cast it here in Miami because for all my, you know, I'm an actor myself, of course, and all my acting friends, you know, Florida can use as much help as it can get. We can get as many productions as we can because it's a beautiful place to shoot down here, and a lot of people don't realize the talent base that is here in Florida. So it would be great if they shot that down here in Miami. Real quick, I want to let you know where Teal Poppy is being shown in the Miami area. I don't have for the whole country, I'm sorry, but I do have for the Miami area. Okay, in Miami, it's showing on September 6th. This is all September 6th, at the AMC Aventura, at the AMC Sunset Place, at Cobb Dolphin, and up here in my neck of the woods in Boca, it's showing at the Regal Shadowwood. So check that out. And just check out their website, Teal Poppy the Movie. And they may have, I haven't looked at the website recently, they might have some other showings listed on the website, I'm not sure. Or just, you know, Fandango it in your area and find out where it's showing or call the theater, whatever you need to do. He mentioned some of the areas that it is going to be shown. Okay, as always, if you're a filmmaker out there and you would like to come on the show, please email me. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods at yahoo.com. I would be happy to look at your work. And please follow up with me because I am bombarded sometimes. And if I don't get back to you right away, please follow up. It's really important. Also, please check out my Facebook page, Indie Streak, just like the show. And I will be putting up some information about the listings up there as well. For the different films, if you missed it on the show here. Of course, you can always go back and rewind and listen to it again. And please listen to all the archives because I have a lot of over 70 shows to listen to. I think it's probably close to 80 now that you can listen to from way back in the beginning, January 2012. Next week, I am interviewing Bruce Boxleitner, who you may know from movies such as Tron. And he's been in a lot of stuff. He was with me in Babylon 5 and he's doing a TV show we're going to be talking about. So that should be a lot of fun. And I've got some more people lined up after that. So just keep tuning in every Sunday. I will be here at 1 o'clock, and I appreciate everybody tuning in today. And I will talk to you guys next week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.